We are blessed this morning to have April Fraser, who you will notice is referred to as Reverend April Fraser in your order service. However, April is actually set for ordination this spring. She is a community minister affiliated with Shoreline Unitarian. She received her Master of Divinity from Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, and for the past several years she has worked as a home hospice chaplain. Originally from South Dakota, April lived in Portland, Oregon after college, and she fell in love with the Pacific Northwest, of course. She lives in Kenmore with her husband, Jason, and their four-year-old daughter, Naomi. They're all here today. Let's give a warm welcome to April Fraser.
Thank you, Selena. Today, our reading I chose for you is from Thomas Keating. It is titled Being Held, and it's found in Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening. A hardness we can't see, cold and rigid, begins to form between us and the world the longer we stay silent about what we need. It is not even about getting what we need, but about admitting, mostly to ourselves, that we do have needs. Asking for help, whether we get it or not, breaks the hardness that builds in our world. Paradoxically, asking even for the things that no one can give, we are relieved and blessed by the asking. For admitting our humanness lets our soul break surface, the way a dolphin leaps for the sun. One of the most painful barriers we can experience is the sense of isolation the modern world fosters, which can only be broken by our willingness to be held, by the quiet courage to allow our vulnerabilities to be seen. For as water fills a hole and as light fills the dark, kindness wraps around what is soft if what is soft can be seen. So admitting what we need, asking for help, letting our softness show, these are the prayers without words that friends, strangers, wind, and time all wrap themselves around. Allowing ourselves to be held is like returning to the womb. In my work as a chaplain, time and again, I have marveled in moments of transformation. Whether sitting in a hospital room or in a home with a patient or their loved one, while talking or not talking, something happens. I am simply being present, listening, creating the space for the other person to share their experience. And somehow, something changes. I have felt the energy of it sweep across the room. Or in my own times of personal transformation, have felt the shift within me and radiate from me. How does this beautiful and yet sometimes elusive transformation happen? By being seen. I will be bold enough to presume that we all have a willingness to be seen, a longing, beyond the exterior image presented to the world, beyond what we may say or do, but who we really are. And when someone sees us, our truth, and holds us without judgment and with compassion, that is where transformation can happen. I don't know about you, but I grew up learning from my family and community how to preserve our projected images, where talking about your feelings was not modeled and was actually discouraged. I read an article many years ago about a study discussing the possible impacts of stoicism embodied by persons of Scandinavian descent. I remember thinking, aha, it all makes sense now. But what are the ramifications for the following generations? As one of our sources for our Unitarian Universalist faith, There is a story in the Hebrew Scriptures that I think may provide a helpful metaphor. Exodus 34 describes how Moses came down from the mountain, and when the Israelites saw his face, they were afraid to come near him. So he used a veil to cover his face. The Apostle Paul refers to this story in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and speaks about lifting the veil. I hope we can see how this story of the veil in Moses can be a metaphor for vulnerability, risking, and transformation. After having been cracked open by life experiences of illness, grief, or pain, we may be shaken and afraid, just as Moses may have been impacted by his life and time on the mountain with God. And what do we do when we are shaken and cracked open? We may put up walls and not let others see our truth. Maybe like Moses, we put a veil over our faces to hide. Sometimes we do not even realize that we do this. Yet, in trying to protect ourselves, we separate and isolate ourselves. This is a lonely place. This does not need to be the only option or the end of the story. Verse 16 states, when one turns to God, the veil is removed. So perhaps in the dark of night, the quiet of our room, we cry. Even if we cannot share it with another human soul, we lift this veil that has been over our face as we have gone about that day. Here, there can be freedom. Freedom from worrying about what others think. Freedom to be ourselves in all the mix of emotion, of agony, fear, where there are not even any words. Have you ever been with someone, whether you're talking or not, when there comes a moment when you are truly there with each other, when you look at each other and see in their eyes, when time stands still, when you don't think about the other person in regards to their gender, ethnicity, job, status, age, when you have a connection and see who they are, someone to be cherished. This is what I envision for our lives together in community, to create a safe space where we can risk showing our true self with others and hear others with compassion and be open to see the true self in those around us. How can we get there? Begin where we are. As I had learned to do, I lived for years putting a smile on my face, saying I was fine, and somehow covering up the truth by convincing myself otherwise. Yet I desperately hoped that someone would not believe the lie of how I was fine, that they would look beyond the layers to see who I was and what I needed to say. Perhaps I did not know what to say or how to say it, but the longing to be seen and known was a silent scream. Unexpectedly, my words found voice in a song. And as I was preparing for speaking with you here today, I realized that this song was written when I was living here in Portland, 16 years ago, nearly to the day. I still remember it. This is how it begins. I am more than just my looks. I'm more than just my past. I'm more than I appear to be. I'm me. I'm more than what I wear, more than this curly hair. There's so much here inside of me that you can't see. Not yet. Couldn't we all sing these words? I yearned for people to know me and to see me, but I did not realize that in order for people to truly see me, I had to show myself. This is the crux of the matter. Risk. We want to feel that we can trust before we share, yet the paradox is that the vulnerability of self-disclosure is the key to growing trust. This is a meeting of mystery, terror, and wonder. When I was new to a church community, I had the opportunity to put this concept to the test. I had been there only a couple of months and was just barely getting to know a few people. And then a health crisis hit. Here on the precipice, we can choose to take that disconcerting jump to be open with others. I could choose to keep it to myself. I had done that many times in the past, and it did not serve me well. So this time, I took a risk. I shared what was going on, my fears, what it was like to sit in the midst of unknowing and the worries of possibilities. Maybe it was easier that I did not have some established persona yet. This was before I was known by my professional experience, the fact I went to Vanderbilt, or before anyone knew I wore a minister's robe. And what happened? People supported me. Prayers, phone calls, and emails, cards, and visits when I was in the hospital. Being open and showing my vulnerabilities was an opportunity for depth of relationship. I felt known. I felt cared for. I began to feel a sense of home, and I was changed by it all. Now, I do realize that being vulnerable and risking is not the best choice in all times and all places. Some of us have families where it is not safe to share, workplaces that do not foster an environment of vulnerability, or communities where it can be harmful to show ourselves in such a way. We may have tried stating our truth and have been judged, rejected, or otherwise. Perhaps we have begun to expect such a response, and we are in hiding. Wherever you are, begin there. Maybe risking with another human being seems too much right now. What about with beginning by being vulnerable, with lifting the veil when you are alone in the quiet of solitude? I hope and pray that we can all find a few persons we can trust, with whom it is safe to share and be vulnerable. Relationships where we can be present with each other, listen deeply, and be seen. Speaking again of some of the words of Thomas Keating. Asking for help, whether we get it or not, breaks the hardness that builds in our world. Paradoxically, asking even for the things that no one can give, we are relieved and blessed by the asking. For admitting our humanness lets our soul break surface the way a dolphin leaps for the sun. One of the most painful barriers we can experience is the sense of isolation the modern world fosters, which can only be broken by our willingness to be held, by the quiet courage to allow our vulnerabilities to be seen. And taking a last look at that scripture from Corinthians, we read, "We have such a hope, we act with great boldness." This is exactly it. We desire to be known, and we have a hope that such a relationship is possible. Thus, we are invited to act with great boldness, because it takes courage to let others see our cracks, to lift the veil, to be ourselves. And Paul says in verse 18, "And all of us with unveiled faces are being transformed."